Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 48 of the Genesis Gems podcast. I am one of the co-hosts, Nick Stevens. With me this time is...
Aaron. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Landon. Hey, how's it going, everybody?
You know they can't actually hear us, right? They can't hear us.
They can't hear us?
I mean, we're talking to people. We're talking to our listeners out there, but I don't think they can respond when we say, hey, how's it going? We have to wait.
Well, they may send an email back, you know.
Oh, okay.
They're like, hey, how's it going? 5 weeks later. Hey, pretty good.
I was doing great 5 weeks ago.
Until you played this game?
That's right.
Heavy
and
Nova.
And then my life changed. Chevy Nova.
Goof.
Excellent. Seems like it's the only enjoyment I've got out of this game is remembering the Turtles movie. But... anyways.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Why don't we talk about that instead?
Yeah, let's just make this an episode of the Turtle Flakes.
There we go. Yeah. I'll second and third that.
Hey, this is Turtle Flakes with your host, not Rob and not Josh.
That's right. Not Rob, not Josh.
Where are those host heads? They're supposed to be on this podcast.
I don't know. We invite them. And I know Rob just kind of decided he wasn't going to answer any of the text about this one.
Actually, Rob, out of nowhere, and maybe you're going to mention this, I was so surprised. He just posted a video in our Genesis Gems group of a special Genesis Gem tribute.
Yeah. Thank you for being a gem.
Yeah, thank you for being a gem.
It's pretty good. He sent me that song a few weeks ago, and I told him it'd be cool if he could write a song for that. Something about it being good and something about this game being garbage. And you could play it right after right after the conclusion of our ranking. So, but you know, apparently that song probably won't play on this podcast.
We had to have a song just for terrible games. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, about some robot in this game. There was this book I read. It was called Artificial Intelligence. It was written by a lady named Android.
Oh, what? No.
Sorry.
Like that's one of those ones where it's like it's so dumb that you have to. Like, your brain doesn't want to process it. It, like, refuses.
I got lots of jokes this time because I didn't know what else to do. It's like, I played the game, but yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. All right, y'all. If you would like to connect with us, check us out on our website at www.genesisgemspodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/genesisgemspodcast. Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/genesisgems. I've been getting a lot of like fake profile requests, and it's kind of annoying me, but anyways.
Probably Nintendo fans.
Nintendo fans, you know, people with weird names, but anyways. Send us an email.
Steven and, sorry, Steven. Steven Michael.
Steven Troll. I mean, Steven Michael. Yeah. he's fun. I like it.
He's all right.
He's all right. He's not the worst.
He's playful. He's like, not that bad.
Hey, I was on Two Dudes. Also, I was on Two Dudes podcast last week, and I told them to their video face that they're the worst. So I just thought y'all would appreciate that. So you guys are the worst.
I did. I just made my night.
Shoot us an email at genesisgemspodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at gengems. Check us out on iTunes, on Stitcher, and we are part of the Retro Junkies Network at theretrojunkies.com. All right. I don't have any listener business. No new email. No new iTunes reviews that I'm aware of. I checked a couple of days ago. So if someone posted it between then and now, I'll read it next time. So I guess we can go right into Sega Snippets.
Test 1-2.
Sega! Now it's time for Sega Snippets.
Something interesting I've been playing lately. I say interesting. I started off really, really liking it. It's kind of worn out on me. Y'all ever played Dragon's Crown? It came out on the Vita, and it was also on PlayStation 3. Atlas made
it. Yeah, it's got the jiggle physics, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a nice way to put that?
I don't know.
That game, I don't know how else to put it. Like, they really, the assets in that game, they went really heavy on the assets.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The art style is really cool. Then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that's inappropriate.
Like, whoa. And that's the thing. It's like when I played it, it was like back when I was married and my kids were around. I'm like, I can't play this around my kids. This is just too embarrassing.
Well, so the reason I bring it up, you know, Atlus made it, which Sega owns now, so I feel like I can talk about it. I didn't realize Vanillaware made this game, which, if for those of you who aren't familiar with Vanillaware, Vanillaware made Odin Sphere, Demon Blade, Muramasa.
Princess Crown.
Princess Crown, exactly.
Saturn. Yeah.
So after I found that out, I was like, man, I got to play this game, because I love Demon Blade, love Odin Sphere. I've actually never played Princess Crown, but I looked it up a little bit after this. But it's a good hack and slash. It's got some action RPG elements to it, but after about 8 hours, man, I got burnt out. It's kind of the same game over and over again, in my opinion. You do level up.
You probably have to play it with, like, multiple people, don't you? I think you, like, unlock a two-player mode or something like that.
I think
online multiplayer.
Yeah, the further you get in the game, you open up, like, a stable with, like, all these horses, and there was some option in there where you could play multiplayer. But I don't know.
Wait, is this Christmas Ponytail? What is this?
Christmas
<That's> Stable?
That's a great game. But
that's right.
So I kind of put it down. I'll probably go back to it, but I don't know. It kind of reminded me of Golden Axe in some ways, because you can actually jump on some animals' backs and things like that. But one of my biggest gripes about the game is whenever you have, like, a party with you and you're starting to fight, like, any kind of bad guys. Again, it's a hack and slash type beat 'em up. There's just so much going on. I couldn't tell where my guy was half the time. He'd drop his sword, and I didn't even realize he dropped it. And a little chaotic for me, but I did like it. I think I'll go back to it. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of share that. Any Vita, it was really good on Vita. I tried it on PS3 and didn't quite keep my attention, but yeah, that's my Sega snippet.
It's probably a good good mobile game.
Absolutely.
I can hear you there. One for me, I posted this in the group, but I don't know if you guys have seen that. I think it's called The Four Core, that retro gaming system that conspicuously looks like a Model 1 Sega Genesis mixed with a Sony PlayStation. It's like they got the molding and shape of the Model 1 Sega Genesis, and then it's like the color of a PlayStation 1. And what it does is it apparently allows you to play up to 27 different retro gaming systems, including the Sega Genesis, of course. And I think it allows 3 controllers via USB. And then it also, I think it's something crazy like 4K support. But I don't know exactly what hardware is in this, but what someone posted in our group, they said it's probably just a RetroPie, or a RetroPie setup. So it's a Raspberry Pi, which is a Linux-based operating system on a very small credit card-sized chip. I think an ARM processor. So, you know, now that we're in 2016, like, this technology is just advancing very quickly and at a very cost-effective manner. It's not something that could have been put out, you know, 10, 15 years ago. So it's really cool to see stuff like this. And you can, there's an SD card where you can load your own games. Now, like, legality of it, I'm not so sure, because, like, their advertisement video is, like, showing all these games you can play that, of course, they don't actually have the rights for people to play. But that's kind of another story. But I think it's pretty cool that it's out there. It's on Indiegogo right now. Apparently, it made 10 times its initial goal. You know, I was trying to think if I had anything else Sega related, and you know, not really. I did get to talk a little bit of Sega Genesis with my brother Gordon when I got to hang out with him a little bit. And
hey, he joined the group. He joined the group, didn't he?
He joined the group.
Hey.
Yeah,
hey.
And he actually he posted a question in an upcoming segment, which you will hear on this podcast.
Ooh. Foreshadowing.
It's not a segue. It's foreshadowing, because we still have Landon here. Landon, I didn't forget about you, buddy.
Thanks, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Let's see. What have I been up to, Sega? I made a personal goal to try to beat Sonic the Hedgehog 1 before the end of the year, and I'm failing miserably at that. I made it to Spring Yard Zone the other day for the first time in, gosh, forever, and it totally kicked my butt. Spring Yard Zone, and I've been playing off and on, and I know the legal part of this is kind of blurred, but I've been playing Snatcher on Sega CD.
Oh, yes. Great game.
That game is awesome.
It's like one of my top 5 favorite games of all time.
And if you've never played it, it's kind of like Blade Runner in a way. It borrows a lot of the, like, cyberpunk and solving mysteries. You know, the premise of Snatcher is in the future, there are these robots that can impersonate people nearly to a T with artificial skin and blood and muscles. And what they're doing, you find out, is they're kidnapping people and murdering them and then replacing them in society. And it's this whole big plot that goes on later on. And I think out of the three acts, I think I just finished act one up the other day, and I'm starting act two now.
Yeah. In the original release, there were only two acts. The game actually ended on a cliffhanger. So it's only in the re-release that they put out on Sega CD. And I think, the PC Engine CD in Japan, only in like future re-releases did they actually add a third act. Because I don't know if they just ran out of budget or space. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the original game didn't even have a third act.
Wow. It's a pretty cool game, but from what I've been seeing like on eBay, it goes for a pretty penny. I mean, it's up there in value, but I mean, if you've got the money, it's definitely worth it. It's a really good game, I think. If you really like mysteries and trying to solve crimes and just, you know, games with good atmosphere and good music, that's one to check out, definitely.
And it has Justifier support, so if you have a blue or pink light gun laying around, the game actually uses it. But I prefer using a controller on those gun segments anyway.
Yeah, those gun segments are really fun too. Like, I thought, oh, this is just going to be kind of like a little tacked on mini game, but they're really fun. I'll really enjoy those.
And you really only have to do it like, sorry, I'm eating dinner at the same time here. It's a great idea while you're doing a podcast. I really recommend it. So there's like a whole big training segment to get acclimated to the whole gun thing. And then throughout the game, I think you only really have to do the gun segment like maybe three times in the whole game. It's hilarious.
Did Konami make that game?
Yeah, it was Hideo Kojima, actually, who directed it. And you can tell it's definitely his style. And there's so many references to things like Metal Gear and even Rocket Knight Adventures. When you go to the Outer Heaven, Metal Gear reference, when you go to the club. And they have all sorts of like Konami characters, people in masquerade, dress up as these different famous Konami characters. Pretty cool.
I think one of the groups there is Simon Belmont and Dracula are at the bar, like having a drink together in that place. It's really cool. I laughed when I saw that.
Yeah, it's just hilarious.
Makes you wonder if you know, Kojima is going to make Snatcher Part 2, you know, for Sony now that he works for them.
You know, it would be cool if he did, but yeah, that's definitely a Konami property.
Yeah,
and
I think he's done.
I mean, they would probably just.
He's doing something with Norman Reedus, right? Kind of a Silent Hill spinoff thing.
Yeah, and well, not a spinoff, say, but it definitely something along the same veins of a, you know, a cinematic type game. But like with Snatcher, I mean, that story kind of wrapped up pretty well. There was a kind of a prequel that was made that was like a radio drama that was put out by Suda51. That's actually been, I think it's been translated, or it has like subtitles now, so you can go check that out, I think on YouTube actually. Starring, Landon would know this character, Jean-Jacques Gibson.
Yep, Jean-Jacques and his daughter
Jean-Jacques.
Yeah,
Katrina.
I always thought he had the weirdest name. I'm like, he's got like several nationalities in his name, like Jean-Jacques Gibson.
Yeah, well, Gibson is, I think Gibson is a clear reference to William Gibson because of the whole cyberpunk thing. And William Gibson wrote Neuromancer. So, I mean, I can kind of see that. But I don't know where the Jean-Jacques comes from.
Poor Jean-Jacques, though. If you've played the game, he meets a pretty bad end.
Yeah, well, that's like, I remember I had an EGM and... that was when I'm like, I knew I wanted to play the game because like it was, I think it was EGM. Like I opened up the EGM and like that was like the goriest picture I'd seen in a video game magazine. I was like, oh wow! And then like you see another picture of like the main character. His name is Gillian. He's like got a gun pointed in some kid's mouth. You're like, man, what's up with this game? It's crazy. Yeah. So I definitely wanted to play that game, and I played it and beat that game. I think I was all of like, it was one of the first games I ever beat. I think I was 8 or 9. It's definitely a mature game for me. I think I grew a beard while I was playing it.
Dude, I can believe it. That there is some pretty mature subject matter in that for sure.
Yeah, and they toned it down a little bit for American audiences. They did. I mean, because that's a whole other story as far as like the differences between like ages and things between Japan and America. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But cool, man. You've got to finish it. It's got a great twist ending, and I don't know if you've ever beaten it all the way through.
No, I haven't. This is my first playthrough of it, and I'm at the end of Act 1. And
well, if you want to talk to someone about it, man, it's going to be like a book club. We're like, where are you, man? Where are you? I want to hear. I want to know. I want to know.
And after seeing that, it kind of got me interested in wanting to play Police Knots, too. Like, trying to find a Police translated Knots version of that to play.
There is. PlayStation and Saturn now. Either one, cool. There's a translated version of that out there. I've beaten both games. I will just tell you that I think Snatcher is personally has a better story. But Police Knots is still a lot of fun. Cool. And you get to run into Meryl, which is weird.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Meryl, who would later be in Metal Gear, is in that game. But it's a different Meryl. It's weird. But that's not too much of a tangent, because I said the words Sega and Saturn, so it's still Sega-related. Right.
Got it. That's a snippet.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, with that, we can go right to Ask Aaron.
Aaron Hickman is a dude who knows a lot about Sega games. Ask him questions. It's okay. And he will answer them if he wants.
You got some questions? He's got some answers. Ask away.
Woo. Absolutely. Okay. All right. Is this thing on? Hey, this is Ask Aaron, and I'm Aaron. Here we go. So Steve and Michael, right out of the gate. Ooh. Our first poster and our best-known troll. why is it that you... He said, why is it that if you add 1 plus 2 plus 3 to infinity, that the sum is negative... I don't even know what he's saying. He's saying, why is the sum negative 1 over 12, or negative 112? Well, Steven, you see, if you had been playing on a Sega Genesis growing up, you wouldn't ask me that question. You'd ask a serious question. Not one of those fake Nintendo questions that you learned off of Donkey Kong Jr. math or something.
Good answer.
All right, so so Matt Daly asked, why do games like Heavy I love this question. Why do games like Heavy Nova have to exist? You know, it's kind of like Batman. It's kind of like how, you know, you've got to have a really good character. And then you've got to have a really evil character, right? Like Joker is like the evil. He's like the antithesis of Batman. And so I think with Heavy Nova, Heavy Nova is like the antithesis of every single good or even mediocre, just every other game on the Sega Genesis, okay?
Everything that's good in the world.
That's right. Everything that's good. You know, Heavy Nova is like down here and Mother Teresa's like up here. So there you go. I don't know. So Christopher... I'm trying not to butcher your guys' names, and I apologize. We had one listener, I think his last name was Wayner, and I totally butchered his last name, and I apologize. So Christopher Murad asks, have you beat the first stage of Truxton? I will be completely honest, I have not. I have not beat the first stage of Truxton. I'm trying to think, maybe I have? But I've only ever played it in emulation. I never got to play that game growing up. I will say there are a lot of great shooters on the Sega Genesis, like Truxton and Musha, obviously. So it's one I want to go back and see if I can beat. I think what you're insinuating, though, is that it's a really tough game, and I believe it. So my brother Gordon Hickman asks, how many NES games constitute a crap ton? How many SNES games... How many Genesis games? And last but not least, how many Wii games? And we had a conversation about this after he asked the question, and I didn't want to give him an answer right there exactly, but I asked him to kind of clarify the question, and I think what he was more trying to ask is, he was actually trying to ask how much shovelware do you think are on these systems comparatively, and I would say that the Sega Genesis definitely has a lower amount of shovelware, we'll just not talk about Heavy Nova, than the Wii, obviously, because the Wii, I mean, just like, that thing printed money, so everyone was trying to just put out whatever. They're just spewing it out. It was crap. And then with the NES, you know, you had a ton of great games on there. You did have good games. Unfortunately, Two Dudes in the Nest never cover them. They're always just covering, you know, Deadly Towers and Raid on Bungling Bay, but that's another story. Urban Champion, their greatest hits.
Yep.
I'm just kidding, guys. But yeah, so like, I think every system has its good and bad games. But if you look at the amount of games released on systems, it seems like within the Nintendo systems, more games in general just got released. So if you're just talking about, you know, proportions here, then of course it means those systems are just going to have more bad games overall. I mean, you found that with SNES games. There's a lot more edutainment titles that are just not any good. Just look at Captain Novelin. Look at the exercise games, like the Speed Racer one, and the there's like a mountain biking one. They're just bad games. And, you know, Genesis had stupid stuff, too. Like, you know, you had the Activator, which someone's going to come back and defend. But I just think overall the Genesis had a pretty solid library. And even when games weren't good on Genesis, I think the quality control meant that at least they were mediocre and they weren't always terrible. I just feel like there were more terrible games on the NES and Super Nintendo. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Crickets?
You're correct.
Anybody? Okay. Whew. Ah. I had a pang in my heart for a minute there. Yeah, so let's see here. So moving on here. Hope that was a good enough long-winded answer. Gabe asked, is that Kevin Arnold's brother? So I think he's talking about the picture of me where I do kind of look like Kevin Arnold's brother from Wonder Years. So I will just say no comment. And
is that Wayne?
Send all royalty checks. Yeah, it was Wayne.
Nailed it.
So I guess that also means that I'm Marilyn Manson, because you guys remember that rumor?
Oh, yeah, Paul Pfeiffer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He looked like him. He really did look like him.
But he did. Until they put on the makeup.
Love that. Love that move show. That's such a good show.
Yeah. All right, so Nick Mellon asks, what's your favorite game you discussed on Genesis Gems? Yeah, man, that's really tricky, but it's kind of I think it's a toss-up between Gunstar Heroes and maybe Shadowrun for me. There's been some great games we talked about, though. But those are the ones that, like, immediately come to mind, and I think it's just because they're the ones I've spent the most hours playing, whether it be on my Sega Genesis growing up or on my Sega Nomad. I just sunk a ton of time into both of those. And Gunstar Heroes, I just don't think there are many better two-player experiences on the system. Grab a buddy, play that game, and you will be guaranteed to have a blast. As far as favorite games we haven't had on the show yet, you know, I feel like that would be a little bit of a spoiler because there's just so many great games yet for us to cover.
Yeah.
That are not named Heavy Nova. But, you know, just like the obvious ones are like the Sonic games, the Shining Force games, basically anything that starts with an S, right? Starflight, Fantasy Star series. I mean, we'll get the problem with us covering games like that, though, is we really have to research and play them a bit more because those are lengthy games. I'd also add, like, Toe Jam and Earl, just some great stuff there. And there are definitely a lot of lesser-known great titles, like someone mentioned Truxton. There's a lot of shoot-em-ups, and we've only covered, like, one shoot-em-up on this show, I think, Filios. So if anyone wants to donate their very expensive copies of these games to us, just send them to, it's 9,000. I'm just kidding.
I'm not.
You don't have to send them to me. That's right. Just, you know, we'll donate them to the Human Fund.
There you go.
They did in Seinfeld. All right, so Daniel Tolan, he just had a one-word question, and I think it was a game that we were actually going to cover at one point, or it was like a listener pick. It was Green Dog, which I think was, it was one of Sega's attempt at having a mascot before Sonic came out. It was that weird time between 89 and I think 91, when Sonic came out, when they were trying out different characters. Yeah, it's an interesting game, but it's not the best. So Dom Reno asked, did you ever play Master of Monsters? I have never played a game called Mom. I have not.
Mom.
That's a cool Mom.
Yeah, it's
That's
Mom. No, it's it is a cool acronym. I knew there was a sequel. I think there was a sequel on like PlayStation, if I remember right. But I think it was like a series, actually. I've never played that game, but I think it had a pretty cool concept, if I remember right. So Jared Adams asked, what is the first Genesis game you remember buying with your own money, and did you like it? Man, that's a good question. I got an allowance. I'm trying to remember. I got an allowance. I remember buying Herzog's Way with my own money, and that is one of the best games on the system. I bought it from Kmart, of all places. They had it used, and so it was really cheap. But that's one that really springs to mind. I can't think of a lot of other ones. There was a lot of times we would get used Sega Genesis games. My brother Gordon actually worked at Hollywood Video, so he'd get us deals. And so they had a bunch of used Sega Genesis games there. And so with my allowance, I remember buying a few there. But I could not tell you any other games off the top of my head. Maybe the Genesis 6-pack. Maybe. But I don't want to lie to you. Gabe asked again. Gabe, come on, man. You can't ask multiple questions. That's all right.
Put some rules down. Ask
that's
Aaron
right.
Wartz.
You got to lay down the gavel. No, that's all right. His first question is kind of a joke question. Gabe asked, what's your favorite Sonic game? Mine is for sure Sonic 2. And I'm not so much a fan of 3, which kind of surprised me because 3 is pretty good. My favorite Sonic game, music-wise, is probably Sonic CD. Gameplay-wise, is honestly, I'd probably go with Sonic 2 just because I have the most nostalgia for it.
Yeah,
it's the one that really hit me the most as a child, and especially with like the advertising, and just it was everywhere. It's the game I remember the most, and so it's the one I connected the most with. And I remember spending just hours sitting on the sound test, listening to the music, and also the two-player mode. I just felt like it was the complete package. So Sean Robinson asks, Aaron, over the years, there have been many Sonic the Hedgehog branded foods. With that in mind, have you tried the SpaghettiOs? Yes. Ice cream on a stick? No. Or the gummy bears? No. So that answers right there. How many Sonic gummies could you fit in your mouth at once? Man, this is a multi-tiered question here. And the answer is as many as it takes. I don't know how to answer that question. And it says, if Sonic the Hedgehog can get the gummy bear treatment, which other classic Sega franchises should have gummy counterparts and why? I would say, let me see. I think Vector Man, because like, isn't he made out of like a bunch of like, that could be like gumballs, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Jawbreakers or something.
Yeah, like they're all like green Vector Man jawbreakers. So maybe not gummy bears, but or gummies could work. But that and Toe Jam and Earl, you know, especially a Toe Jam flavored one, that would be great. Fantastic. So finally, Nick DeMarco, our good pal Nick from the Genesis Gems Dungeon and writer extraordinaire. He actually did, by the way, he reviewed Heavy Nova on our website, so go check it out. Nick said, first off, some advice. Sleep punching doesn't suit you, Aaron. He's referring to my picture where I look like I'm punching myself in the face. Secondly, while games like Contra Hardcores, and I'm not going to say Hardcorps, it's Hardcores, okay? And Castlevania Bloodlines are popular Konami ports to the Genesis, what other Konami classics would you have liked to have seen appear on the Genesis? Ooh, good question. I mean, outside of, I would definitely go with like a port of Metal Gear 2. How about that? Wouldn't that be awesome? Metal Gear 2 on the MSX. That was a great game. I played through that whole game. The graphics on there kind of remind me, and the music actually reminds me of something that could be produced on a Sega Genesis. I'm always a little remiss that Metal Gear didn't end up on a 16-bit system.
Yeah.
So for me, Metal Gear would have been great on the Sega Genesis or the Sega CD with the same level of quality voice acting that Snatcher enjoyed. I think that could have been the Metal Gear Solid of its time. So I would have to give it up for Metal Gear. I'd also say the arcade version of Bucky O'Hare was a blast, and I think that would have looked great on the Sega Genesis. And there were some other Konami games, you know, arcade ports. I'm trying to think of games that ended up on SNES, like Metal Warriors was a good title. But I think that was just Konami published. I think LucasArts actually made that. But, yeah, I mean, if you guys can think of any other ones, Metal Gear is the one that really springs to mind for me for some reason, because that's their biggest, that was one of their, well, biggest franchises now, but it would have been cool. And that is the last question. That wraps it up for Ask Aaron. So thank you, guys, and just keep your questions coming, and I will do my best to answer them.
Awesome. You got questions, he's got answers. Ask Aaron.
All right. Right. They're not always going to be what you like, but, you know, I'll answer them anyway.
All right, guys. Well, with that, let's go welcome to our doom, right? That's a different game. But
welcome to your doom.
It's a little bit more appropriate for this. All right, guys. Let's do this. Game on, Aaron.
Game on.
Game on, Landon.
Game on.
Game on!
Yeah, game on.
Sega!
All right, Heavy Nova. You know, I one of the first things I always write down here is memories. And beside memories, I wrote, any memories? I said, no, my parents love me. If that makes sense. Had you guys, I know, I briefly played this game. Honestly, I played it for like 10 seconds and didn't really even give it a chance. I'll be honest with that. When I was, you know, many years ago when I was going through like every Genesis game in a library I've never played, just kind of in an emulator version. But I remember turning it on for a little bit and thinking the intro was pretty cool. You know, I thought it was going
to
be like
the intro was actually really good. Yeah, I was surprised how that intro is compared to the rest of the
game. Exactly. And the intro, you know, that the head kind of was like, oh, that kind of looks like Samus. Maybe this is going to be like a space game. Maybe it's a shoot 'em up. I don't know. And
Cool like vertical base thing going on. I thought that was neat.
And of course, you know, I popped it in and thought, oh, this is a little slow. I don't want to play this right now. I thought, maybe one day I'll get back to that. But
you know what? Your instinct was right.
It was right. Had you, but did you guys play this game at all before we had this show?
No, I had not. I'd heard only bad things about this and stayed away from it because of that.
For me, I apparently have repressed memories of this game because I talked to my brother Gordon and he said, yeah, we rented that game once. And he said, I don't remember anything particularly bad about it. He just said, I just remember we rented it. So apparently I repressed that memory. I do remember us renting the sequel, though, on Sega CD called Black Hole Assault. Anyway. Yeah.
That sounds like what happens after you eat Taco Bell.
Blast processing.
Black Hole Assault, man.
One in the same. No, the best part of the sequel was the fact that you could unlock Pong in the game. I thought that was the coolest thing when I was a kid, and that was more memorable than the entire game for me.
I watched a few playthroughs of that while we were getting ready for this.
It looks better, but it's still janky.
Yeah, so we'll go right into this. It was published and developed or published by Micronet, who also published some pretty good games, believe it or not. Flicky, which I love that game, was published by Micronet, and this game didn't get the best ratings in the world. It's one of those weird, obscure sport games that I love for the Super Nintendo, but it was Riddick Bo Boxing. Did you guys ever play that, Super Nintendo?
Oh, yeah. Dude,
yeah.
I love Riddick Bo Boxing. I did too. Was that the one where, like, you could go train and, I don't know, it had, like, a pretty extensive training mode?
Yeah, it was pretty much a direct ripoff of Evander Holyfield Boxing and the Greatest Heavyweights on the Genesis, but it had a more cartoony-looking characters. And I will have to admit, the Super Nintendo controller four-button layout was a little easier to play the game on. I will say that. Shouldn't.
Controversy.
Yeah, but I thought, man, there's some decent games here. But this Heavy Nova was developed by Holocronet, which I couldn't find anything else on. They either, you know, got fired or jumped off a cliff. I'm not sure which one. But that was mean.
Well, did you know this was actually a port?
Yeah.
X68.
Yes.
1000, actually.
I know they made it on Sega CD too, right? After this.
Yeah. There is ported to Sega CD. But I was watching gameplay footage of the X68000 version, which is a Japanese computer. Very powerful at the time. The gameplay is actually smoother. Still wasn't a great game, but it wasn't like choppy, like you were watching a movie on the internet in 1999. Wasn't like that choppy.
This game was released on December 2nd of 1991. It was composed by Toshimasa Ijima, who worked on other masterpieces like Black Hole Assault. And
I will say the music is definitely not the worst aspect of the game.
Definitely not.
It's better than another fighting game we covered a few episodes ago.
Man, good fighting games here. The average price for this, it's going for $7.97 loose, and complete, it's going for $9.96. So save your money. Alright, the story. I'm going to read this real quick. The story was kind of interesting. It's this comes right from Moby Games.
You want to play with dolls.
Exactly. It says, in an era of frequent alien attacks, the Earth has a unified government which relies on a line of cyborgs known as the Heavy Dolls for defense. The greatest of these are known as the Heavy Nova, a title earned by passing a rigorous training regime. You are taking on the simulated proving grounds, which are split into two styles of alternating action. In the first, you must progress initially purely horizontally, though later with vertical flick scrolling as well, through a hostile environment of enemies, bombs, traps, and gaining points for doing it quickly and with lots of energy left. Initially, you can fly and kick as needed. Once this section is complete, you move on to a one-on-one combat of the Street Fighter II style. The early No, sorry, I don't know.
That's a nice joke there.
Wow, thanks, Moby Games. That was generous. The early foes have far less energy than you begin with. As you progress through the game, you are awarded extra attacking moves in a manner similar to Brutal Paws of Fury. Yeah, I think they just had to say other games there to.
Oh, jeez. You know what? I think what's going to happen is we're going to end up covering every bad fighting game on the Genesis before we even start talking about Street Fighter II or Mortal Kombat. I think that's what's going to happen.
That's all right.
Or even Eternal Champions. We're kind of working our way up.
Yeah. So Shaq Fu's next?
Yeah, Shaq Fu, and then Brutal, and maybe Power Moves, and, you know. Well, not Master Monsters, that battle, was it Battle Arena or Battle Clash? I can't remember what it was called. It's just, do you guys remember that one? It was some really weak monster fighting game.
It wasn't like the King of Monsters type stuff, was it?
No, okay. It wasn't that.
Okay, I was thinking, I don't know what that is. Though.
No, this was an earlier one.
There was a Clay Fighter for Genesis, wasn't there?
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, Clay Fighter is not got that one.
No, not at all. It's pretty bad. No spoilers, right? All right. But, yeah, digging into this game, the genre is garbage. I mean, it's fighting. As far as the controls go, they're really bad. And you do move left or right, and sometimes you can't really move left when you push left, vice versa. A is the do a jab, and you kind of pivot your little foot at the same time, and B is a kick, and C does nothing. I don't know why. C do anything for you guys?
I think that's a button you press if you want to blow yourself up.
That's what I was hoping. It's like self-destruct.
Oh man, mine didn't work.
Yeah.
I think it's a two-button game because I think the original game, kind of like when they did like Amiga ports and stuff, you had limited buttons. And so, or like when we were talking about Slaughter Sport, where it's like they decided not to make it a three-button game because the X68000, the controllers only had two buttons.
Yeah, and then you can kind of fly, you know, jetpacks, like holding up and hitting left or right. And I just found this out about 10 minutes ago. You can dash if you hold down, you know, hit like left or right, and hold it down. Kind of does like a little dash move, which I didn't figure out till about 10 minutes ago. So there you go.
Dash isn't real good. I didn't like it. I couldn't hit anybody with it.
And like, I couldn't hit anybody, period.
Yeah. The only reason I even won any of the one-on-one fights is like I would actually jump inside of the character, which doesn't make any sense, and just like kind of jab them until they slowly moved away from me. I couldn't jab him anymore, and then I would just jump away and jump back in and do it again. It was so much fun.
Well, there's ostensibly a move list. I think if we looked at the manual, this game goes a little deeper than maybe we give it credit for. But the problem is, again, like Slaughter Sport, a similar thing is it's really hard to tell what all the move sets are going to be. And this game has a weird system where you level up different moves as you progress through the game, which sounds good on paper, but it's not great in execution when you can't even land a single hit.
True. I did somehow, I was fighting the second boss who looks just like you, and I was hitting A and B at the same time, and I was doing like a power bomb type move. That was kind of cool. I don't really remember if I was doing it right. I just hit A and B a bunch of times, and it would sometimes work.
Oh no, Michael Kelso's trying to call me.
Is he calling right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to add him to the call.
Okay.
Hello.
And if this podcast couldn't get any worse, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Kelso from Two Dudes and an S.
What's up, fellas?
The reason for the season.
What's up, Mike?
Hey,
how you liking that game? You played it yet?
We decided just not to play it, talking about how bad it is. No, kid. Yeah, it's pretty awful. What do you think?
I think it's pretty great, actually. Have you gotten to the gyms part yet?
The gyms, no. We're not
okay. Well, I'll just go ahead and give you my opinion. I think it's a gym for sure. I mean, I think it, if anything, it exemplifies everything that Sega is and Sega does. And I just think for that, it needs to be a gym.
Wow.
And that's why I decided I would vote and put that up there for you guys.
Well, we appreciate you, because apparently you were the only one to give it a gem.
Oh, really? Wow. That's kind of a shocker, really.
This is the first game we've had that's unanimously bad, except for you.
Huh. You mean you don't feel like it's just like every Sega game you play? I mean, it feels like every one I play. They're all kind of the same. They're all just like this game. What game is this again? Is this Streets of Rage?
Oh, easy.
Oh, first, low blow.
First you had Sean, yeah, just absolutely slaughter that game, and now you're going to talk about it.
I was going to say, were you going to say defecate?
I was going to say defecate.
You're desecrate?
He crapped all over it.
That was in the uncut version of his video.
Oh, jeez. Was that game actually working, Michael?
I couldn't get it to work. And the label is all faded and stuff. Actually,
all right, so I don't feel so bad.
It may have been a working copy.
Okay, well, I'll make sure I, get a working copy of Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh.
Or, you know, one of your favorite games on NES, and back over it with the truck.
Okay, all right, that's fine. If you break Heavy Nova, then my heart will probably be broken.
Yeah, we can't do that.
And I feel like doing an angry video game nerd video with it, just destroying it somehow in a unique way, or I'll just throw it outside and forget about it completely. That sounds like a better idea.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to.
It's gonna be Jumanji, and someone else is gonna come along and pick it up, and they're gonna have the curse game.
Once you start,
and it's gonna be a new movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Hey, I have an achievement about The Rock. That's funny. I see what you did there. Yeah.
All right, well, I don't want to derail you guys too much. I just want to call in and give you guys a hard time.
No, that was actually good, because we were running out of things to say about the game.
That's fine. All right.
Well, thank you.
All right, we'll catch you guys later.
All right,
talk to you later, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Kelso, the worst. That was kind of cool. Nice timing.
Kelso has left the building.
He has left the building.
I just wanted to hear like a phone slam sound.
Bam. I get all nervous though. It's like talking to the bully at school. You think about what you're gonna say and how you're gonna stand up for yourself. Then he gets on here and I'm just like,
like I'm Sherlock Holmes and I'm talking to Moriarty. I don't know what he's gonna say next. I'm a little worried.
Oh gosh, where were we? Talking about this game being bad, or?
Let's try and talk about the actual good points of this game before we tear it to shreds anymore. So we said the intro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that it's a fighting game with a storyline is kind of unheard of, especially for the time period. So I give him points for that. I think there is. Isn't there? Are there like little cutscenes in the game? I can't remember. Sure. But I know there was a little bit of a story. And I talked about there's a roster of moves you can do if I could figure out how to actually make them work.
Yeah.
The fact that you alternate between action stages and then fighting one-on-one, it's pretty cool. Other games have done this. I think Mazen Saga did this before this. Flying Warriors on NES, actually a pretty decent little game, did this too. But... that game is far better. and it's on NES. What does that say? Yeah, you know what? There is a two-player mode in this game. So if you have a friend that you really don't like or an enemy that you really don't like, just, you know, invite them over. And just tell them, you know, I'm just going to put in this game and see how it goes.
Well, and let's be honest. When I heard about how bad this game was, I was looking at screenshots and I thought, you know, this can't be that bad. It looks kind of cool.
It really doesn't look that bad. The graphics on it aren't bad.
And it's like
at all.
I remember hearing a lot of crap about Cyborg Justice, and that game's pretty cool. I like playing that. And I thought maybe this is going to be kind of like Cyborg Justice, you know? You got some, you know, decent little platforming stages, maybe a cool little boss fight, and you know, I really like the concept. I'll give it that. If I want to be nice at all. You know, some of the animations aren't too bad. You know, some of his kicks. He does a cool little spin kick on some of the one-on-one. Kind of like a, I don't know my martial art kicks real well. But it looked pretty cool. You know, some of the, you know, there's a little bit of attention to detail when he jabs his little right foot pivots, which I don't know why I think that's so funny, but it is.
The animations are surprisingly pretty decent in this game if they weren't really super slow.
Yeah, I don't know if I like this or not, but if you go into the options menu, which they call configuration, I guess because it's, you know, all about a robot, you can pretty much pick any stage you want to play. You don't even have to beat anything. You can go right to the last stage or the second one, you know, whatever.
Can you go right to the off switch?
I did.
Or does it have like a X-Men troll moment? Here, just reset your game right here. Yeah.
The music wasn't totally bad either. I mean, it was kind of catchy, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say out of the games we covered, it was better than Last Battle, and it was definitely better than Slaughter Sport.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed.
Did you notice how angry Heavy Nova was?
You mean the face? Yeah, like the facial animal?
Someone kept pushing his buttons. I wasn't sure. Pretty.
Oh. Angry. No.
Walked right into that.
It's not good when I'm the only one laughing.
That was a pity laugh.
Well, there's another book written about robots. It's called All About Robots. It was written by Cy Borg.
No.
I got one for you. Did you hear about the guy who got cut on his left? He's all right now.
Hey, what do you get when you cross a robot and a tractor?
I don't know.
A transformer.
Slow clap for that one.
Oh, here's one more. I'm just going to get this out of the way. What did a man say to the dead robot?
Well, I don't know.
Rest in peace.
Metallica?
Megadeth.
Almost. Oh, Megadeth. Oh, edit that out. My credentials are gone.
Your credentials, yeah. It's no longer Ask Aaron.
Right. Hey.
Peace sells. All right, I don't have any more robot jokes. Sorry.
He's buying.
Yeah. All right, so where were we? Heavy Nova?
We're talking about this game, and we're filling time here because there's really not much more to talk about this game.
So
we can talk about the first time, like your actual experience of trying to get past the first enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
So how far did you all get? Like, I did beat the second boss, and then after that, I couldn't get any further. Landon, did you get very much further than that?
I can't remember. I think I made it past the training. I made it to the fourth boss and got...
Oh, man.
Just got my head beat in after that.
Much better than me.
Man. I made it to the second area. The problem is, you go through these action stages, and I use that term loosely, because when you jump, it's almost unavoidable to run into one of those mine things, those enemies on the ground, because this is the only game where when you jump, you tilt down at a weird angle. Like, they didn't learn physics. Never took physics class, so, like, physics in this game are really weird. When you'd expect a, you know, kind of an arc, it doesn't do that at all. So, yeah, I did not make it past that. My daughter tried to play it, and while I was falling asleep on the couch while she was playing it, she decided to switch to another game, thankfully, mercifully.
That was probably the best call.
And that's the
was.
That's the funny thing, because my kids actually played Slaughter Sport for at least 5 or 10 minutes. They tried this game out, and they're like, no, Daddy, no. just immediately.
Like, Dad, is this NES?
I'll tell you, the levels don't get any better. They're, I don't know, they're just kind of bland, it seems like.
They really are. It's like, oh, you're in a factory. Oh, you're in a warehouse. Oh, you're in a warehouse factory. Where they make warehouses.
And let's talk about this. Maybe I'm just confused. Let's talk about it.
Mmm, taco.
I know. They got those.
I'm
new,
in South Texas. You gotta make those.
Good taco. You probably got. They probably got like those good food trucks around you. Good tacos.
Oh yeah, they do.
Let's see. We got Taco Bell. That's all we got. And that's not real tacos.
And that's nothing to talk about.
Black Hole Assault. I still can't get over that. But they call these.
I know, and I laughed. I still can't get over that.
Thank you. Love you too. No, they call these robots dolls. What's that about? Like, is that some kind of like robot lingo that I'm not familiar with? Or?
Maybe it's because they're inanimate objects that only come to life because humans make them.
That actually
maybe it's
sense.
Like Pacific Rim. Are there people inside them, or are they remote controlled?
Oh,
I don't know.
Maybe we can look at a better game to find out.
So like Titanfall.
Yeah. This is the Titanfall podcast.
I've never played it, so I don't.
No, I've only seen it in action. But no, yeah, with Heavy Nova, I kind of wonder, well, they talk about, you know, you can attain the rank of Heavy Nova. I mean, what's after Heavy Nova? Mega Nova? Killer Nova?
Chevy Nova?
Chevy Nova, yes.
Mega Loda?
Ultra Nova? Nintendo 64 Nova? I don't know.
We're just... This is a show, guys.
It's a fun show. Well, this kind of reminds me of, like, well, there's a show called Abject Suffering where they forcibly play really bad games. But they probably do it better than we do because they're kind of trained professionals at this point. So, yeah, you should check out that podcast because I think, like, that's all they cover on that show. And I think it's a spinoff of the Watch Out for Fireball show. It's not... family friendly, but if you can cover your kids' ears, definitely recommend checking it out.
Well, and
I'm already giving plugs to other shows, like in the middle of our show. That's how bad it is.
Well, and every game we've called garbage on this show. I actually kind of, I don't want to say enjoyed, but I got some type of pleasure out of playing
it. Get some pity points.
Yeah,
this game it's literally the one redeemable point about the game ends. Like a minute into the game.
and you know, Rob and I talk about this a lot, and we kind of share the same sentiment. I don't like trashing someone's art. You know, this was someone's art at one point, but I mean, it just feels unplayable. The controls are unresponsive and blah, blah, blah. And as much as I want to highlight the good points, I can't get much further than the concept of the game. Yeah, sounds awesome.
When is the concept of robots fighting each other not awesome?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
they try.
That just
How do you they screw tried. That up?
They tried. That's all you can say is bless their hearts, they tried.
Bless their hearts.
Bless their little hearts.
We're just too nice on the show, I think. I always want to give everyone...
I know.
Because I don't want to be a hipster and be like, this is the worst game ever, because that's what everyone says, but good grief, someone's right. I don't know if it's a worst game ever. I don't know.
I think that's still yet to come. I think there's at least one other game that's nearly as unplayable as this one.
We already played it. It was Chester Cheetah. No,
oh.
It wasn't that bad. It's
pretty mighty. It's mighty mighty.
Is it like Polly Pocket? Kind of like those toys?
Yeah. I like Polly Pocket. Did we drop too big of a hint there?
I don't know. Do people really know what Polly Pocket is?
You do. Then you're probably a 90s kid.
That's right. And you got jealous of how cool those toys looked in there for girls, so you went and found the other guys' toys.
So, I have a question for you, Nick. Did you play this two-player?
Yeah, my son and I did, and it was just like a fighting
game. Was it just as sluggish and slow? And
yeah.
Could you pick different fighters?
Is it bad that I can't remember?
Or did it just did it automatically assign you two characters to fight as?
I feel like I could pick different fighters, but that may have been Slaughter Sport. I don't know. I know
Are
we
you
did.
Mixing these two obviously different fighting games up?
May have. I feel really, really bad because, you know, I usually come in with like a lot of knowledge of it.
This is one where I'm kind of stumped as well. Like, I have a few things I knew about the game. I have a few repressed memories, apparently. but, yeah, it's just one of those ones where it's like, you know, I knew going into this would be a shorter show for us. But at least I think we've made it entertaining. I hope so. So I hope you guys listening out there and gals, all two of you, I hope you at least check this game out just to understand how bad it is.
Yeah.
And also, if you can, go check out Classic Game Room. Lord Carnage did a great video on this game. And he breaks down exactly why this game does not work. Because he's kind of the same way we were, where it's like, you know what, I'm going to keep playing this game and see if it gets any better. Kind of like how, at least with Slaughter Sport, there was enemy variety, and you know, you started getting different enemy patterns you had to learn. In this game, there's not much to it. No, it feels like half a game.
Yeah, the classic
Action 52 had better games.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, the classic game room was very good. Aaron's right on with that.
I did like the fact, I know later on, like in the levels where they were trying to add some variety, they have experience boxes that you can pick up that like teach you new moves, apparently. Like somehow they unlock new moves or something that says, hey, you've picked up an experience point. This move, and this move have been unlocked.
But then like you probably just need the manual to figure out those moves.
Yeah.
Because it's not very obvious. And I think any game that locks away fighting moves in this type of game is just kind of asking for trouble.
Yeah.
Where it's like you feel like you're already fighting with one hand tied behind your back and
literally
maybe hopping around on one foot. That's how I feel playing this game. And then, like, you guys didn't even mention the whole thing where your stamina, if it gets below a certain point, you can't hit.
Oh,
you have to wait until your stamina... Yeah, okay. And then you have to wait around until your stamina picks back up.
And is that why, like, when you're fighting and you get hit and you just laid on the ground? I swear I was on the ground for 5 minutes at one time. I literally got up and went and got me a cup of coffee and came back, and he was still laying on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought
I would have made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And, yeah.
When it got to that point, I would just let him kill me or reset it.
Peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time.
Where?
Anything else? I feel like I wrote down a lot of stuff, and I think I already talked about it all.
Do you have the manual handy? Was there something we missed? Was there anything cool, like, on the back of the box?
No.
No?
It could have been.
Did you know this was released on Sega CD, but only in Japan?
Yeah.
And, The intro music is actually really interesting. It's not bad. It's pretty catchy. It's got these, like a Japanese singer. It almost sounds almost like an anime intro. It's pretty cool. But yeah, it's really just the same game, but on Sega CD. Like, they did nothing to change it at all. So kudos. I wonder why they didn't bring it over here. I'm trying to look at the box art now.
8 megabit memory. Hey.
Hey there.
Yeah, I bought the cartridge, of course, and the cartridge itself doesn't look too bad. I mean, it's got a picture of the robot. It's very pretty detailed. You can see all the wires inside. And again, all the presentation up until you play the game looks promising, right? But really, you look on the front of the cover, it doesn't even say what it is on the front. It just has all the pictures. It only says Heavy Nova on the top of the label.
Well, I found out what the doll stands for.
Oh, it's always got one of those
acronyms.
Yes.
Defensive, yes. Offensive, Lethal Liberator.
That makes total sense. That's just like Junker and Snatcher, where it's just like Junker, Unified, Naked, Kind, Enforcer, yeah. Ranger.
So, let's just throw a bunch of sci-fi words together into a word, to an acronym.
That'll be great.
There was an office of an episode of 30 Rock. You guys ever watch that show?
Still haven't seen that show.
With Liz Lemon. Well, she was at I don't know if you guys are familiar with, like, Six Sigma. I'm actually a black belt in Six Sigma, but it's like a lean methodology for
me. You know any cool moves?
I do. No, every time I say that, people are like, what kind of martial art's that? Like, well, it's not a martial art. But
it's not. It's a process management.
There you go.
PM.
I'm a black belt. Anyways, she was in Six Sigma training, and it was like the next station is lunch. So she walks into lunch, and lunch actually was another acronym for, like, leading underneath new. I was like, oh, that's great. I love acronyms.
I love backronyms, where it's not like it wasn't an acronym, but like someone says, well, no, it's actually an acronym and it stands for this. Like, there's been some bands like that, where it's like their name really didn't mean anything, but someone went back and said, oh no, it means a fire inside, or I don't remember what band it was, where they did that. I think it was like KMD, like that industrial band, where, yeah, people will be like, they'll just make up their own acronyms for them and say, yeah, that's what it was the whole time. Sure. Like
CKY, can't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Alright.
That's the only song I know by that
band. I used to be able to play that. That was a heck of a guitar riff. Love that.
Right. So let's talk about our favorite guitar riffs of all time.
Let's talk about it. Let's play them, man. Let's go.
Alright.
How about Black
Brought
Dog?
Brought out his guitar.
How about Black Dog? You like that one?
That's a good one.
Yeah. I like that song because the time signature is all weird on it.
Alright. Well, let's go on to a fun part of this show. This is called Retrofitted Achievements.
The Genesis Gems Retrofitted Achievements.
I got some good ones here. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wow.
Yeah. So my first one's called Kick Me in the Face, and this is just buying the game.
Oh, nice.
Oh, gosh. You want to go ahead with yours, Aaron?
Yeah. So mine is Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, Mortal Kombat 2, Primal Rage, Eternal Champions, Super Street Fighter 2, Samurai Showdown. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just listing off games that are on the Sega Genesis. They're way better than this one than a fighting game. So you wanted an achievement. I'm sorry. I didn't bring any of those to the table. But I can list off better fighting games if you want. Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3.
I like it.
Time Killers, even. Fatal Fury 2. Even Fatal Pit Fury. Fighter is better than this game.
I like Pit Fighter.
I have a soft spot for Pit Fighter.
I like Pit Fighter.
Everyone thinks it's the worst game now.
No. You get
when
get
I was a kid,
you hit all three buttons and do that cool kick. I mean, that's awesome.
On.
Yeah.
we will talk about that game, and it will divide. It will be a civil war up in the Genesis.
Oh, we gotta do that soon.
Oh, it's gonna happen.
I have very fond memories of that game.
There was gonna be a Pit Fighter 2. Oh man. Anyways, I seriously didn't have any achievements. I had one along the lines of yours, and I was like, no.
It's not worth an achievement.
No. Your achievement is that you listen to our podcast all the way through. That's the achievement. And we appreciate you for it.
A winner is you.
That's right.
So what you got, Landon?
I had only one, and it was Do It Like MJ, unintentionally moonwalk in the middle of a street fight.
Yep.
Yes, you can do that.
I got one similar. Mine was called Billie Jean, performing the moonwalk. This next one's called Daniel Tolan Eats Your Heart Out, and this was the game was so bad I didn't even bother changing the perspective to 4-3.
I think I played this 16:9 also.
I really did play it 16:9.
Not that it made it any more cinematic.
No. My next one's called Know Your Role and Shut Your Mouth, and this is getting hurt by a rock. Like, literally, there's these rocks that fall down, which they hurt you.
All right, Jabroni.
What'd you think of that achievement, Aaron? It doesn't matter what you think about it.
No!
Sorry. Okay. But there's literally rocks that fall from the ceiling, and they land on you, which makes sense, they hurt. But they're just laying there, and you walk into them, and it hurts you. It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Nick.
Yes?
Can you smell... what the rock's been cooking?
I can smell. It's garbage. But my last one's just called Nap Time. This is falling down in the boss battle and not getting up for 5 minutes.
Speaking of nap time, I actually fell asleep while playing this game. I'm dead serious. Yeah,
well, I can't say that. I fall asleep during good games. I have a bad habit of like playing PlayStation 4 in my recliner and getting really far back in the recliner and then just falling asleep with the controller on my chest. Happens all the time. So I can't say too much, but anyways, let's rush.
Virtual Fighter 2, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, even Double Dragon 5. And that was hard to say. Like, I got a little bit of sick in my mouth saying that. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Yeah, it just gets gross after this. But yeah, that's all I have to say about this game.
Let's ask a really dumb question. Is this game a gem?
Is this game a Genesis gem? Is it good or is it garbage?
The Mobi rank for this game. Any guesses? I just want to hear what you all think. What do you think Mobi... like, what do you think overall critic score was for this out of 100?
I'm going to say they're going to give it like a nice high 30s.
I'll say 40. 10.
10. I think, well, if this were Price is Right, Landon would win. It was 29 out of 100.
Ah, oh, man. See, you always go like, I should have gone with like 9. Or no, I should have gone with 19. 29.
You should have been like, $1.
$29.99.
$1.
$1. $1.
Right.
All right. A very interesting review came from Entertainment Weekly in 1992. This is funny.
What?
Yeah, I know. It says, Heavy Nova's high-stepping stainless steel robot hero may have a certain wacky appeal. If Michael Jackson were the Terminator, this is what his skeleton would look like. But it but also has the most ponderous, difficult-to-master move this side of a Tai Chi tournament. I'm kind of wondering if that's even real. Did that really come from Entertainment Weekly?
I wonder if this game would have been better with the Activator. I wonder.
Play it on a power pad. You'd probably get better control responses.
Probably have more fun, even if you can't hook the controller up.
We never used the power pad the way it was intended. My brother and I used to grab this giant...
I'm sure you played it like it was a bongo.
Well, I don't know why we did this. We had these two giant George the Animal steel rubber wrestling figures. They're, you know, the real big ones. We would pound them on the pad as fast as we could. I don't know why we did that, but we did. All right. Anyways... here are some listener responses, and this is pretty good, guys. Really, stay tuned for this one. Cameron Worme says, never played it, but I don't need to. All signs point to extreme barf garbage. Stephen Kyer says, it has 8 megabit memory. Must be a gem.
Wait. Go back to Cameron. He said barf garbage. Does that mean it's barfage?
Barfage.
Barfage.
I think you just came up with a new term. Extreme barf garbage. So, X barfage. Alright, so Alex Burr has two comments. The first one says, it's the worst game on the Genesis. And then Alex Burr says, I just can't think of a game that's worse. Perhaps Dino Land? And Freddy Velasquez says, I remember this game being hyped up before released. Hyped up garbage. Mario Guerra, I always want to say that. I think they call him Super Mario. I have it garbage. Atari games are better than this. Daniel Tellin says, underrated, best game ever. And there's a video. I'm going to click it real quick. See, this will probably come over.
10 out of 10, 100 out of 100, best game.
That'll probably play over my recording, but it's the guy going, best game.
Oh, yeah. What's his face?
Yeah.
Can't remember his name right now, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Matt Daly says, I'm sorry to say I got a copy of this game recently, and it's absolute trash. Slaughter Sport was better. To be fair, I didn't give it much of a chance, but I wanted to throw the cart across the room after about 15 minutes of trying to play it. And yes, I read the instructions. Let's see. Joe Coppel says, well, this sounds like dying cats and children. It looks horrendous, and I honestly have nothing nice to say about it. The controls really kill this, though. Marlon Popuchet says, rubbish. Carbia Yon. Definitely the latter. I'd rather play Target Earth, Cybernator, Ranger X, Cyborg Justice, Exo Squad, and Tech Romancer 45,000 times over. Joshua Witt says, Chevy Nova. Lon Simon says, yeah, but it has 8 megabit memory. That must have been a big deal. And then Stephen Michael says, I've never played this game, but graphically speaking, it looks okay. Although, from what everyone else is saying, I guess this game is garbage.
You know what? I remembered, was that the last one?
Well, there's that's it.
Okay, I was just going to say, I remember another bad fighting game for this system, and I don't know why I couldn't think of the title, but it was Beast Wrestler.
Beast Wrestler, yeah.
Beast Wrestler. Yeah. Oh, with the bad hit detection. Yeah, it was renovation, so you're thinking, oh man, it's going to be pretty good.
It was all isometric, right?
Yeah, the music was pretty good if I remember right, but the gameplay was just,
The cover art. The cover art's wonderful. I just Googled it.
The other thing I want to mention was, you'd mentioned Marlon. Marlon is a good buddy of mine. Marlon Popuchet, I think it's Popuchet. He actually just started a YouTube channel. And he's also a musician buddy of mine. But he started a YouTube channel called Mega Drive Profile. And I'll have to find a link to it. But the first game he covered was Alien Soldier, which is a really good treasure game that was only released over in America on the Sega Channel. But it eventually did come to like the Wii Virtual Console and I think like different Genesis collections. Anyways, worth checking out. I'll make sure we throw a link into the show so you can check him out. He also goes by Urban Flow on SoundCloud and does a lot of really cool Sega Genesis music. So he is a Sega fan for life.
Nice. Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Sir. I'll grab that link from you and we'll stick it in the show notes.
Yeah, what's interesting is I've talked to him before. He's one like where he's trying to go back and play more non-Sega Genesis systems of that time. Because he literally, like, all he grew up with was Sega Genesis. And so, like, when I say, well, have you played, like, Super Nintendo much? He said, not really. So it's really interesting that, like, everything, you know, growing up for him was kind of colored by his memories of the Sega Genesis. So, pretty cool.
That's cool.
All right. Any last words?
The last words, I guess we got to throw the gavel down and stuff.
What do you want to put on your tombstone?
Rust in peace.
Sorry. Rust in peace. Or that time that Aaron forgot that it was Megadeth.
That's all right. I understand.
Not Metallica.
There's a
so big... you know, Dave Mustaine was actually in Metallica.
That's right. That's right.
He was.
That's right, he was.
And I think...
He wrote most of the Kill 'Em All album, and even some of Ride of Lightning.
Master. Isn't there, like, video footage of him crying
in
that one Metallica documentary?
I love that one where he and Lars are talking, and Dave Mustaine's like, it just wasn't fair, Lars. Like, it was... I'm like, you guys play heavy metal music. Stop whining.
He's still butthurt about it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I mean, he put Megadeth together as like a in your face to Metallica. It was so good though. Like Countdown to
they arguably put. I'm gonna catch crap for this. Megadeth, I think some of their songs just sound. They definitely sound better than later Metallica to me.
I think I prefer Metallica more than Megadeth, but the album Countdown to Extinction trumps any Metallica album. I'm gonna say that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Riff for riff, I think so. And just having two fantastic guitar players did it.
Yep.
So yeah. There you go. Back to Genesis Gems, the podcast where we talk about Metallica and Megadeth. Yes.
So is this game?
Say Megadork.
So what is this game? I'm gonna say garbage. It's the worst game we've covered so far. It's worse than Last Battle. It's worse than Slaughter Sport. I'm giving it a big garbage.
Sounds good.
How about you, Landon?
I give it to you.
Yeah, I'll give it a garbage. The only good thing it did was it reminded me that I wanted to go finish watching This Is Spinal Tap the other day.
And yeah, I have to say it's definitely garbage. I did want to bring up one other point though. Something you said, Nick, earlier, I have to call you out for this.
Oh no. Ooh.
Did you say resume?
I'm pretty sure I said that, and then
are you gonna fix that in post?
Probably not.
You mean regime?
Regime. Resume. I noticed resume. When I said it wrong, and I probably just try to use a different word. It's like when spell check doesn't fix what you're trying to say. It's like, I'll be there tomorrow.
Like spell check for your brain.
I'll be there next week. you just change what you said.
Like spell check. Dwig it.
Love it.
Oh, hey, my 4-year-old son just woke up. What's up, buddy? What'd you think of Heavy Nova? Oh, nothing.
It's crap.
He's just laying
on the worst game ever.
He's just sitting on my lap. What's up, buddy?
Why, Daddy? Why? Daddy, why? Why are you the way you are?
Because of Heavy Nova, son. That's why.
I've seen things.
Alright.
I've tried to play things.
I think the show has just fallen apart. On my end, anyways.
We can't go back.
I can't say regime. It's all resume.
It's French.
Alright, guys.
Just like this game is garbage.
Garbage.
Garbage. Garbage. Alright, what should we call it a show? I don't even know what to do now.
Yeah, this is the awkward silence episode.
Alright, well, with that, we'll catch you all later. How about that?
Later, guys.
Bye, guys.